everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and it's time for It's All About Food. Guess what we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about food, and I am going to fill you up with all kinds of delicious information on nutritious, nutrient-rich, wonderful, delicious food today. We're just focusing on the good part about food today, and so let's have some fun, okay? But before I bring on my first guest, I want to tell you what I've been up to. So busy. And you know that I founded Responsible Eating and Living along with my partner, Gary DeMattei, and we've recently released a lot of stuff on the website. And all I want to ask you to do is go over to responsibleeatingandliving.com, and you have a lot of watching to do. We released our third web series episode, The Real Good News and Review, and we have an in-depth report on chocolate. There's good news. There's not so good news, and it has a happy ending, I promise you that. But there are lots of different things that we need to know when it comes to chocolate, and it goes beyond reading labels. Okay? Then the second part, which is really fun, is our Transition Kitchen, which is our new food show. And Gary is going to continue with his five foundation sauces, the five mother sauces, and he makes a cashew cream bechamel and a tomato sauce that turned into a spicy marinara, and that has a really fun, happy ending, too. So I hope you'll check that out. And we've created this one big episode. It's all in little pieces, so you can watch them all in different sittings if you don't have a lot of time. And then the last, it's one of my favorites. It's a visit to a local vegan Chinese restaurant here in Queens, New York, the number one tourist destination for 2015, named by Lonely Planet. And we have this wonderful restaurant here, and we feature it in our Real Visits. It's called Simple Veggie Cuisine, and if you happen to be in the New York metro area, it's one that you should definitely check into. It's clean and delicious, and the owners are lovely, and we just love it. All right, let's move on to my first guest. And we're going to be talking about not only food, but my favorite subject, green food. And that's with Jessica Nadell, who writes the popular blog Cupcakes and Kale. She has a passion for healthy, local, plant-based eating and thinks that in a diet of vibrant, nutrition meals, there is room for a cupcake or two as well. She's also the proprietary baker at Oh My Bake Shop, a natural and organic bakery of special order vegan goods. She lives in Ontario, Canada, and you can find her at cupcakesandkale.ca. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Hi. So we got you all connected.
I hope so, yeah.
I hear you. You hear me. That's good. Everybody else hear us? Raise your hand. How are things up in Ontario? Are they warming up?
Oh, ever so slowly. I'm trying to be patient.
Yeah, I've heard that this is the warmest year on record globally, and yet all of us in the Northeast find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Especially where we are in Northern Ontario.
All right, let's jump into your greens 24/7. And
sure.
Before we do, tell me a little bit about you and how you got involved with greens.
Well, I've been a plant-based eater for the majority of my life. I became a vegetarian at the age of 10 and
wow.
And vegan in the past 5 or 6 years. And I think I've just always loved food. Food and family-style meals were always really focal in my family growing up. And once I started to cook and explore the kitchen a little bit more myself, and became exposed to the amazing varieties at farmers markets and ethnic markets, I really found a passion for food and vegetables in particular. And I do love my greens. And so I think that's, in a nutshell, how things started and how things evolved.
Now tell me, you were 10 years old. This fascinates me. So did you have someone who inspired you? Did you figure out that eating vegetables was a good thing all by yourself?
I think it had less to do with becoming a lover of vegetables as a 10-year-old and more to do with being a lover of animals and making that connection between what was on my plate and the animals that I loved. And I think that was it's a pretty natural reaction for most kids to be shocked when they discover that they've actually been eating animals. And so, yeah, that's how I became a vegetarian, making that connection from a profound love of animals. And that continues to inspire me daily.
And your family was okay with that as a little girl?
They were really supportive. I think probably they thought it was going to be a passing phase, but they were very supportive. And, you know, over the course of the years, both of my brothers have become vegetarian. One of them is also vegan. And they're very, I think my parents would qualify themselves as flexitarians too. They love all food. And yeah, I was lucky to have the support of my family for sure.
I'm laughing to myself. I'm sorry. I just got a little distracted, but I'm hearing the ice cream truck outside and I haven't heard that tune for a very long time. And I don't think it's time for ice cream with the weather that we have, but I guess they're desperate to get out there and get some business. But we can make much better frozen treats and even make them green. And you actually have a few in your book.
Yes.
So let's start with the back.
I do, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's start in the back with some frozen...
Oh, sure. Yeah. Start with the desserts.
Yeah. Frozen green chocolate avocado pop.
I think... yeah, absolutely. I think it's... I really wanted to inspire people to get excited about eating their greens, and who's not going to be excited if you discover that you can throw vegetables into cakes and cookies and popsicles, you know? So I definitely am not suggesting that that's what you should do instead of eating raw veggies and instead of having a salad too, but in addition to, it's a great way to play with your food and to sort of up your veggie intake.
I have seen kale in some desserts before, but they've never looked as lovely as the ones in your book.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I was very lucky to work with an amazing food stylist and photographer, Jackie Sobon, based out of California, and she did an amazing job with my recipes.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Now, I'm a big believer in eating greens. I'm always reading about food and learning about nutrition, and it's really clear to me that humanity is in a tremendous transition phase, and I hope we end up on the good side, learning all what's best for us and for animals and the planet. But, you know, things are all up in the air right now, and science is a bit confusing. But more and more we're seeing the support of plant-based eating and that these dark leafy green foods are so important. It's all very fascinating to me because humans in our short life here on the planet, our food habits have continually changed. And it's really hard to know what's natural, what's original. Our food keeps changing. We keep changing our food.
Yeah.
But right now, green.
You know what? My husband and I, we were talking about this. We were having a discussion along these lines just last night, if not two nights ago. And
I guess
we were talking about, you know, our vegan diet and our vegan lifestyle and, you know, that we're raising our family, like our young son, that way too. And he stopped and he said, you know what? I can guarantee you that 10 years from now, 50 years from now, 500 years from now, no one's going to look around and say, you know what? We shouldn't have eaten so many vegetables.
That's right. Yeah, nobody got a heart attack from broccoli.
We're fairly certain of that one thing. that you can't, you know, we're not really going to, you can't really go wrong if you're feeding yourself and feeding your family and your community an abundance of beautiful whole plant-based foods.
Yay. I like that. See, I knew what you were talking about last night. I just knew that.
Yeah. So, and that's okay. Not to say that it can't be and shouldn't be delicious and fun and nourishing, you know, and perfect for everyone around the table. And so I think that's the beauty of vegan recipes and plant-based recipes. And ones in this book, Ingreens 24/7, that are focused on the vegetables, and they're perfect for everyone around the table, whether you're a vegetarian, an omnivore, whether you have a dairy allergy, whether you're gluten-free. Most of the recipes are gluten-free in the book, or easily adapted. They're really for everybody, which is the beauty of them.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay. All right. I'm looking at, the first thing in your book is a waffle with greens in it.
Yeah, cinnamon and zucchini.
Yeah. You know,
yeah, that one's just pretty tasty.
I eat a lot of greens. I juice every day, and I make sure I have a lot of kale and collards in my life in one way or another. But you definitely have given me some ideas, because I eat a lot of waffles, and I don't put vegetables in my waffles.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing that I can very easily.
Sure.
And why not?
Well, that's it. Why not, right? Like, there's and why not try, you know, I, like you, I still have my favorites, and I have my go-to green vegetables. And for me, they tend to be kale and spinach and broccoli. They're sort of my staple greens. But writing and developing the recipes for this book was a great experience, because it forced me to to learn new favorites, you know, and to sort of expand the variety of the greens that I was eating, which of course then expanded the nutritional content as well.
Now, you have to be careful sometimes when you're mixing green food with other foods. Now, I didn't see any problems in your book. I think you really did a beautiful job. But sometimes when we mix greens with things, the color turns out pretty murky. And then, especially for kids, they don't want to eat it.
Yeah, that's true, unless you give it a name like, you know, swamp water, and it becomes funny. You know, and especially with kids, I think the more that they're involved, the more in the whole process of shopping for the greens, picking out a recipe, helping to create it. You know, my son, even though he's only two, he loves helping in the kitchen. And I guarantee the days that he actively makes the smoothie himself, he drinks twice as much. You know, because I think involvement leads to investment, and yeah. So I think it's really important to get our kids involved in the process as well.
I'm looking at the kale and herb cornbread muffins. Now, we eat a lot of cornbread and corn muffins here, just because it's so easy, and I love baking, and I love making things from scratch, and we have them at least once a week in one way or another. And I'm just looking at it, and I'm thinking, it's not unusual to add green herbs to bread products.
No.
And why not, like you did, just take it a little further and add kale? It looks
absolutely
beautiful.
Absolutely, you know, and to not stop at kale, but, you know, if you don't have kale, it doesn't mean you can't make that recipe too. It doesn't mean that you can't try something else. And so, you know, green, leafy greens and all green vegetables, frankly, they're so versatile. And so that's what I hope people take away from my book too, is the versatility and a little excitement about it, you know, and a little enthusiasm and then motivation to go and experiment in their own kitchen too, past the recipes in the book.
Turning to the broccoli and greens quiche, and We've made some similar things like this at home with chickpea flour, which is the most magical flour I have ever worked
with. Isn't it? I was a bit late to the chickpea flour game, but I'm loving it now.
And it's beautiful what you've made here. And I know it is very quiche-like without any of the guilt, any of the cholesterol, any of the cruelty. This is a beautiful
That's right.
dish.
That with all the protein, I mean, it's just so protein rich using chickpea flour too.
Yeah. And I see it's got, and this is important because you've added turmeric and basil and thyme and vegetable broth. And I love chickpea flour, but it's, as you probably know, it's so important to add other flavors so that it all alone, sometimes it's a little too beany.
Yeah, well, it's one of those flours, and you'll never make the mistake twice. You never want to taste it raw before you cook it.
Yes. Have we all done that?
And I do, I actually have made that mistake more than once.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm someone who's always licking the bowl at the end or tasting things for flavor, and it always throws me off.
It's, actually can teach you some better habits in the kitchen. I'm talking about myself, you know, in terms of tasting and touching everything. You don't want to eat that stuff.
No.
No. All right. And then lovely polenta fries. Love that.
Yeah, those are great. They're, you know, I love polenta as it is, and it's just, it's so wonderful to have like a nice, rich kale and walnut pesto folded into the polenta and then sliced into fries and baked. It's such a yummy finger food and different from how you normally might eat it, too.
Is everybody, like, starving now that we're talking? I am. I'm just... I want to eat some of these things. Yeah. Let's see. There's so many wonderful pictures in here. You know... There are different kinds of styles of eating, and I have to say that your style is very similar to the way we eat at home. I'm looking at all these things and going, yeah, this is the kind of stuff I like eating.
Yeah, oh, well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I love my greens. And then another one I remember looking at in the dessert section, and it's kind of fascinating to me to add vegetables to desserts, but it's just, I've just been socialized to think a certain way, and that's what's fun about reading different books like this,
Right. Learning
to just look at things differently.
Sure.
Right?
And, so which recipe was it that caught your eye in the dessert chapter?
It was the cabbage strudel.
I thought, yeah, it's funny. I just flipped to that page, too. That one, I mean, cabbage really does... I had never really considered it, but it really does have a natural sweetness to it. And
it does.
Yeah, it really does. And I've noticed it mostly raw, you know, when there's that big piece of cabbage that I'm not going to put in the salad because it's too thick. And so I just crunch away on it as I'm cooking. And it's actually a traditional Hungarian strudel. You know, they have used cabbage in the past as sort of like an inexpensive apple strudel because it has that sweetness, especially with a little bit of sugar and throw some raisins in. And I like to add a little bit of apple to it as well to really bring out the sweetness. And yeah, what a fun way to eat your cabbage.
Really? No, I can't wait to do this because I can just imagine how naturally apple-y it could be if you just sweeten it up a little bit.
It really is. It really is. And I mean, there's only one small apple that's used in the recipe. And I know traditionally in the Hungarian version, they don't use any apples at all. So it's possible to do it without entirely. But I love that little apple sweetness in there too.
All right. Tell me about Oh My Bakery.
Oh My Bake Shop is something that came to be a few years ago, and I just decided that I wanted to fill a void in my own community. There was nowhere for me to go myself when I was out for a coffee and have a vegan cookie or a snack. And so I thought, if I'm missing it, chances are other people might be too, even if they don't yet know it. And so I decided to start baking commercially. And so I built myself a mini commercial kitchen and started baking to supply various restaurants and shops and cafes in town. And so I don't operate a storefront, not yet at this point. That's maybe something that might develop in the future. But so it's just done on a wholesale basis, or then special order as well. You know, people will come to me for parties, for weddings or get-togethers where they want, you know, wholesome, organic, vegan baking. And so that's what I do.
What's the demand greatest for?
I would say it's a tie between cupcakes. I think cupcakes are still really popular and everyone loves a good vegan cupcake. And I also do a chickpea blondie, which is sort of like a blonde brownie that is enriched with loads of chickpeas and chocolate chips, and everyone goes crazy for them. So those ones are naturally gluten-free as well. So those are really big sellers.
You know, that's another thing. I started gluten-free baking a few years ago, and I've been using chickpea flour or all-purpose gluten-free flour that has chickpea flour in it and using it for cookies and cakes. And then at one point you realize I'm cooking with beans. I'm baking sweet foods with legumes. And chickpeas are very satisfying, and they're fattier than the other beans. They're perfect for a treat.
They are. And so in mine, I mean, I skip the step of making the flour, and I use whole chickpeas in mine too.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
So that's what my bake shop is. And I'm a full-time mom to my wonderfully busy and spirited 2-year-old son.
And how does he like vegetables?
And then too.
How does your son like vegetables? Oh my goodness.
I see Dinoflete demons, Lamborghini angels. Halos down with the doors flapping when they came through. Halos down with the doors flapping when they came through.
With a circle on the floor, he can...
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, that was fun. We just had a little momentary break there, not quite sure why, but I was entertained.
I just closed all my windows to make sure it wasn't coming from me.
Yeah, no, it wasn't my ice cream person or anything. Just a little somebody ambitious sneaking in their tunes.
So
anyway,
for,
I wanted to know about your son and how he eats vegetables.
You know what? He has amazing days where he wants to eat everything in sight. And then he has other days where he's like any other 2-year-old who wants, you know, nothing to do with anything except for peanut butter toast, cut in the shape of triangles. So he's great. He's generally a really good eater. He loves his green smoothies and he loves broccoli and, he's recently discovered that he loves spinach salad if I make this rich and creamy cashew-based dressing. So he's constantly growing and changing and surprising me.
Well, I always love to say when we're talking about nut or seed-based dressings that it's important to eat fat when you eat leafy green vegetables, because the vitamins are fat soluble and they need fat in order to get into all your little cells and work their magic.
Right.
And whole fats from raw nuts and seeds are the perfect way to do that. And they make great creamy dressings.
They do. And that's one thing that, you know, my son, he just adores nuts and seeds, and they're, you know, if he could eat nothing else, he happily would. He loves them.
Well, this is the terrible twos now, and I guess the next difficult period will be the terrible teens.
Right.
And I wish you well with that.
Thank you.
But I think, you know, and I'm not a parent, but everything I've seen, that when parents have good food habits and have the right foods in the house and not the junk foods, then it's a good chance that the child will learn those habits and crave those right foods.
Yeah, here's hoping. You know, you do what you can. You expose them to all of the wonderful things you want them to see and learn and absorb, and you hope that happens.
That's right. Well, I'm going to have to spin up some time to Ontario. I haven't been there in quite a long time, but if I do get up there, I'll put in an order for Oh My Bake Shop for those chickpea blondies. Those sound good.
Absolutely. Well, and you'll have to make your way all the way up to Sudbury. My husband and I opened up a little vegan taco restaurant about 3 months ago now, too. So you'll have somewhere else to eat as well.
Wow. What's it called?
It's called Tuco's Taco Lounge.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we're
for you.
We're busy. We love our food up here.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for joining me. And it's all about food, Jessica.
Oh, it's been wonderful. Thanks so much, Karen.
Okay. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. That was Jessica Nadel, and you can find her at cupcakesandkale.ca. And before we take a break, I wanted to remind you again to go to responsibilityandliving.com, but now I want to tell you about something else that's going on. Earth Day is coming up, April 22nd. And you know what day that is, right? It's my birthday, and I'm having a birthday party here in Forest Hills, New York. It's called the Happy Birthday Review. It's a fundraiser for responsible eating and living. And if you are in the area, anywhere, New York, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, I would really love to see you. So go to responsibleeatingandliving.com, click on the Responsible Eating and Living fundraiser, find out more about it, and come on, come to my party. All right? Now let's take a little break, and we're going to be right back to talk about some more delicious food. Have a snack in the meantime, because you're going to be very tempted with everything we're talking about next. Okay? Hello, everybody. We're back. I'm Karen Hartglass. And you're listening to It's All About Food. Did you get that snack I was talking about? I didn't, and I really wish I did because I'm hungry, and now I'm just going to get a lot hungrier. That's what happens when you talk about food. Yep, you get hungry. But we only talk about good food, and talking about good food is not going to harm you if you're only talking. But eating good food is good for you, too, not just talking, but eating. All right, I wanted to remind you one more time, well, maybe not one more time, I might do this a few more times, but spin over to responsibilityandliving.com and view, when you get a chance, the Real Good News and Review, the Chocolate Report, our Transition Kitchen, and the Transition Kitchen Food Show is really a lot of fun. Gary makes a spicy marinara and a cashew cream bechamel, and it goes into a luscious lasagna. It's a really wonderful treat, and for people that are not plant-based, this is something you can make that they would really, really love. It's so good. Now, let's go on and get into the love relation with our food. And talk to Christina Ross, who's an ambassador of healthy living, a dynamic, conscious recipe and product creator, educator of vitality through the art of eating and living vibrantly, a freelance writer and blogger. Her recipes and healthful lifestyle tips have been published in Natural Child World magazine through her column Love Fed. Christina also contributes recipes and articles to popular sites and works such as rawfoodrecipes.com, Clean Food Living, Vegan Food Share, Organic Soul, SheKnows.com, JustEatRealFood, RawGuru.com, and Chris Carr's MyCrazySexyLife.com. Christina keeps many of her fans full of nutrient-rich content through her blog, Love-Fed.com, and through television appearances, which have taken her to Today, Good Day Chicago, as well as San Diego Living. And you can find more at Love-Fed.com. Christina, how are you today?
Great. How are you doing?
Good. I'm glad we were able to connect.
And, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So you have some lovely, delicious treats in your book, Love Fed, as it says, purely decadent, simply raw. And one of the things that I like to say when I'm talking about raw food is the raw food cuisine really is the most exciting when it comes to desserts.
I agree.
Yeah, and they're like sinful, but they're not. They're just made with whole foods.
Yeah. They're really, it's amazing. It's amazing what you can do with fruits and vegetables and turn them into cakes and cupcakes and ice cream.
It is pretty amazing. And I was just talking about in the last half hour is the human culture continues to change when it comes to food. We've eaten just about anything, and who knows what we'll be eating in the future. And it's not even clear if there is one, if there's an ideal collection of foods, although everyone agrees that we should be eating more plant foods. But we've gotten away from eating whole foods and eating more industrial foods and a lot of flour baking-based foods. And I love getting back to, or maybe not getting back to, jumping forward to, the raw cuisine, making some things that are somewhat familiar but new, crusts and creams, all from delicious whole plant foods.
Absolutely. And just amazing, you know, we can have a craving for something like a tiramisu and find new ways of recreating those recipes to really fit where we are consciously, what our bodies are craving and needing for vitality and energetically. So it's pretty incredible that we're at this place of going back to simple foods, such as whole foods, that provide us with all of this nourishment as opposed to all the processed ingredients that we've become accustomed to for so long.
Now, someone who's familiar with kind of standard American cuisine, standard European cuisine with baking, I think the foundation consists of white flour, white milk, eggs, and white sugar.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are the counterparts in your style of preparing desserts?
I'd say nuts replace the flour by grinding them down into a flour consistency. Coconut oil replaces the butter. Coconut milk, almond milk, cashew milk, any type of nut milk alternatives replaces the dairy in the dessert. And for binders, we can use different ingredients like dates or maple syrup, agave nectar, different type of sweeteners to kind of hold and bind all of the crust ingredients together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think once we kind of accept that little switch, it all becomes quite simple.
Yes, yeah, and a lot of these ingredients, you know, we have on hand at home. We just don't ever look at a banana and think, I'm going to make a whole pie using that banana as the main star ingredient. So it's really just kind of reshaping the way that we look at our fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, and kind of getting extra creative with them.
Now, most of the recipes have ingredients that most of us are familiar with, but there are some that I haven't heard of very much, and maybe we could talk about some of them, like lucuma.
Yes, lucuma is it's really amazing because in Peru, it's kind of as common as chocolate and vanilla is here to us in the States, so it's a staple Peruvian fruit, and it has a really sweet caramel-like taste. So if it's something that you're not used to having in your diet, it's really interesting to play around with if you're really into the plant foods and you're looking for that caramel substitute or that butterscotch type of flavor that you want to impart into a dessert, then that's a really excellent option that you can add in there.
And where do we find it?
So that's available. I mean, easiest would be to find it online. I love using my superfoods from Essential Living Foods. So you can find ingredients from them that are the harder to find superfoods. You could also find it at a health food store pretty easily. A lot of times you see in if you are shopping in a health food store, you're in the raw vegan aisle, you'll see that Lucuma is usually mixed into different protein powders or chocolate bars and things of this nature. And again, it's because it pairs so well with dessert.
So when you get it alone, is it already processed? Is it a powder? Is it a liquid? What?
Yeah.
How do you get it?
It comes in powder form, so you can start tossing it into smoothies and shakes, or I like to blend it in with the cashews on the base of my cake recipes. And it just, again, it provides that extra sweet note in there, but not too sweet.
Well, there are so many varieties of fruits on this planet. And, I mean, I love apples and pears and bananas. Those are my staples, oranges, grapefruits. You know, they're the least expensive and they're what's available. But when you travel the world and you discover all these other fruits that are out there, it's the tip of the iceberg. So you've got this one product that has some really lovely flavor, and how many other products are out there that we're missing?
It's just incredible how much
I know
opens up to us when we travel in terms of food. So yeah.
So there's actually there's things to look forward to in the plant kingdom, because most of us who've been eating plant-based for so long probably haven't even experienced. There's so many other flavors out there that we've yet to taste. I'm excited about that.
Absolutely. Now, I still go to the grocery store and I wonder, what is that new exotic fruit that they have? So, yeah.
Well, it depends on where you live. Now, for those of us who live in, like, New York or California or some other places, Chicago, big cities, our grocery stores tend to have a lot more variety, but there are other places where the variety is not as abundant.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about Irish moss. Now, in your book, you rehydrate it from dry. It's a seaweed, right?
Yes, yeah, and
a sea vegetable,
and you want to hydrate it, because that's what's going to give your dessert that creamy, fluffy texture. It's not a necessity to have this ingredient. When I first started making raw desserts, I never used it. I was able to get by without it, but then I wanted to take my desserts to the next level, and I think that this is one of those next level ingredients that, if you're really coming at it from a chef standpoint, you want to really achieve that perfect, smooth, creamy texture that also has a structure whenever you take it out of a cake mold, then that would be the ingredient to help you achieve that. And it's pretty neat because it's a sea vegetable, and it comes with all of the sand and the smell of the sea right straight out of the bag. And you're like, how in the world is this going to work in a dessert? And then when you hydrate it and you blend it into a cake filling or a pudding filling, let's say, it's just miraculous how you don't taste this vegetable, and it just adds this magical creaminess to your recipe. So,
well, that was what I was going to ask you. It doesn't have a fishy flavor?
No, and it originally does when you take it out of the pouch, and it's very light in scent, but it actually carries over no odor or flavor once you soak it.
I had Irish moss in powder form, and I rarely used it because it gave a very nice texture, but it also gave a fishy flavor.
Interesting.
Have you ever used it as a powder?
Yes, the flakes, I think you referred, like the little...
Oh, they were powder. It was a powder.
Oh, no, I've never used the powder before.
Okay, well, you're now going to reconsider Irish moss, because I had used this very fishy-tasting powder. It was quite unpleasant, so I'm kind of curious to use the kind that you've used.
Yes, and that you can find at most Whole Foods and health food stores. You can definitely find it online, and... but it's just something that's so unique to play around with. Whenever I have it soaking on my counter and friends come over, I'm like, what in the world are you going to do with that ingredient? And they're usually just so marveled at the fact that that went into their cake. And it's incredible. It's really fun to play with texturally, too, if you're one who's not scared of learning about new ingredients and how to incorporate new ingredient into your repertoire, then it's a super fun one to have on hand.
And it makes it, it works almost like a gel or a foamy gel.
It gives the recipe more of a gelatinous texture, I would say.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then another thing that I really appreciated was your conversation about food coloring. I'm horrified by artificial food coloring that so many people, especially parents of young children, use in all of the treats. It's horrifying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you gave some good recommendations about how to color some of your food naturally.
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of times when we just blend like raspberries into a cashew coconut cream base, it's going to turn purple, or blueberries blue. And yeah, we can just use our natural fruits and veggies for most of the coloring. And then if not, we can get extra creative and use something like a matcha green tea powder, which is pretty easy to find, that you can just use to color dishes green, and carrot juice for orange, and beets just work magic on most mm-hmm. anything that you want to add their juice to. So, yeah, I have a son, and I wouldn't think to feed him any of these artificial colorants, not knowing what they are, but definitely knowing that they are harmful to his health. And it's just amazing to actually see him eat real food that's just colored so vibrantly just from nature itself. So, you know, I don't think he would ever ask me for that, you know, bright orange thing that wasn't straight from nature, I'm hoping.
Yeah. I'm always so surprised at where we've gone with all these industrial foods when we have this Garden of Eden to go to. So many fruits and roots and things that have such strong, beautiful colors, and they're good for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Now, are you all raw? Do you eat on an all raw diet?
No, I like to eat cooked food a lot of times too, but I eat a lot of raw foods. I think that they make me feel my most optimal best, and when the weather cools down, I definitely love to bake on occasion, and I love a variety of foods.
I think if we're going to eat desserts, they should be these raw desserts.
I agree.
Yeah, I do. Because they satisfy the sweet craving, and yet they're just food. They're just whole food. Now, I have two or three recipes I wanted to mention. One is the mini cinnamon rolls.
Mm. Yeah, those are decadent. And the beauty of just something like a mini cinnamon roll is they're mini because that's all you need. They're so dense with nutrition that you really don't need to eat a big jumbo cinnamon roll when you have these type of raw desserts, because every bite is so full of nutrition that you get full actually quite fast. Even if you're not somebody who eats a whole lot of raw foods, I think you'll just find that the nutrient density just tends to send signals in the body to say, hey, I'm actually satisfied.
Yeah, you can eat a lot of these foods, and that's good. But what I like about this recipe is how you created an actual roll. You really worked well with your dough, which is that nut base that you could mold.
That, mm-hmm. And that you could take a rolling pin too. That's what I did for that recipe. So yeah, you could really shape this dough just as you would be able to shape other dough. And I was actually, for this book, I was able to create pretzels even, which I kind of shocked myself with that one because I had the idea. I was like, I wonder if I could get this so workable that I could make a pretzel out of the dough. And sure
donuts.
Enough,
it, made donuts.
Yeah. And donuts. Yes.
Now, you have a business and you sell some of these raw pastries?
Yes. Yep.
And I'm just curious, and maybe other people are curious, how do you go about starting a business for food? There are so many challenges, and I know in the different states, the laws aren't the same. I'm not quite sure. You're in California, right?
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how did you get started?
I basically just didn't take no for an answer. The director of the health department lives right across the street from me. I went to him for questions and advice on starting it up, and it sounded like I was never going to be able to get started with the information based on the laws here in California and not having a big budget to start. And I just kept persevering, just finding out other options that were available and found myself a shared commercial kitchen that at the time was legal to be able to, you know, sell to serving retailers, but not necessarily bigger retailers like Costco and things like that. But it was good enough to get me into Whole Foods and farmers markets and just that kind of giving my start. But I just think the biggest thing was just believing that I could do it and just knowing that I had to get these products out there because there were people like myself who wanted alternatives in the market and there just weren't any products that were going to satisfy those needs. So I had a strong will to have to get these out and didn't take no for an answer.
And what are the most popular of your creations that people ask for?
I would say it's the most favored raspberry macadamia cake. I actually just served that at the launch party, and again, time after time, everybody tells me that that's their favorite. The Carrot Collective cupcakes are another favorite. Those sold really, really well. And the kids love the blueberry dreamsicles. So there's babies, like in this one-year-old that just gobble down the blueberry dreamsicles. So I think that those are really special. And I'm a fan of the really creamy Boston cream cups because they remind me of my childhood. So I think that those are really fun. And the banana toffee pie is another favorite because people are like, you can make that beautiful of a pie just using those few ingredients? And yes, you can.
Yes. I know. We're just so dumb, most of us, what we do. We don't know what we're eating. We don't know what's in our food, and we have no imagination. But we're learning, right?
The imagination part, and that's what this book shows. Like all throughout the book, it just encourages others to just get inspired and channel their intuition when they're in the kitchen, listen to what their body's asking of them, and kind of incorporate that into the treat that they're making.
One of the things that I like are the pies. And I like making all kinds of pies. I make traditional pies with flour foods as well as raw pies. But they're almost, what's the word I'm looking for? They're foolproof.
Mm-hmm,
because a flour dough sometimes can be so finicky to roll and handle. And, you know, for the most part, I mean, you said you rolled your nut based dough for the mini cine rolls, but most of the time you just blend these things up in a food processor and just press it in. It's the easiest thing.
Absolutely, yeah. And no bacon, your crust is done in just a matter of a couple of minutes. So I think it's genius in a way. Like I don't have to worry if I'm going to burn my crust or if it's not going to not as crispy as I like it. So yeah.
You don't have to burn it or it doesn't fall. It's just perfect every time. Gosh, I love that.
Stress-free.
What did you say?
Stress-free.
Stress-free. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes it taste even better that way.
Okay, now, does your husband eat the way you do?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's of French origin.
Yes, he's from Paris. So he's got a love of pastry,
and he eats plant based.
Yes, yeah,
yeah. And did he do that before he met you?
No, when we met, we both gravitated toward it at the same time, and just kind of motivated and experimented together, and it just became our lifestyle. So really, very early on in our relationship, we both adopted this way of eating, and it was pretty incredible to go through this transition with somebody so new to my life, and it actually, I think it had us grow an even stronger bond together, just kind of experimenting and exploring the mind-body food connection. So you look pretty incredible. I recommend it to all couples.
I love hearing this because I lived in the south of France from 1992 to 1996 as a vegan, and I never met another vegetarian. People were very good to me, my friends. They would make me some wonderful foods, but it was like vegetarians didn't exist there. And it's so intense with the culture, the animal-related foods in France, the cuisine capital of the world, that it's really, really hard. So I'm always delighted when I hear French people that are moving towards plant foods. And I think it was in around 2005 or so, I went to the Veggie Pride Parade in Paris. It was like 2 or 3 years old at the time. And it was such a delight to come back and see all of these veggie activists that had come out of the closet to march. And we have our own Veggie Pride Parade now in Manhattan that's taking place this weekend.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. When I travel back to France, we like to go about every other year and just to see the growth and development of even the raw vegan foods that are now available, the fully vegan cupcake shops, the fully vegan patisseries. So it's remarkable just how much the plant awareness has grown there as well.
Now, what about cheese? Is he managing without cheese, or are you making some nut-based cheeses?
Yeah, we make nut-based cheeses, but he's a rare exception. You know, he's never really been big into wine and cheese, so we always say he's the most non-French French person we know.
Okay, that's what's going on here.
But he loves the nut cheeses and all of those things a million times over than the Brie de Meaux or anything that he grew up having.
Yeah, well, I'm looking for the day when all of these great cheese makers in Camembert and Brie and all of these locations in France start to make cheese not just from animal milk but from nut milks. And how... It's going to happen, and it's going to be so exciting because, like I was talking about with fruit, there's all these flavors we have yet to experience that are out there that are not only good for us but delicious.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to be dreaming of these future cheeses.
Well, I wanted to thank you for joining me. I love the title, Love Fed. I mean, that's what it really should all be about. Love.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So thank you for that. And thanks for joining me on It's All About Food.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Have a beautiful day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Christina Ross, the author of Love Fed. And if you have a sweet tooth and you can't get over it, this is a really great book to make wonderful desserts that are plant-based from whole plant foods. Really creative. And they don't look too complicated, believe me. Delicious. And just a minute or so left. I mentioned the Veggie Pride Parade. We will be there on Sunday, and I'll be speaking and exhibiting. So if you are going to the Veggie Pride Parade, go to veggieprideparade.org. It's in Manhattan. You can get all the details there and say hi. And then... get your tickets to the Happy Birthday Review, my birthday party and fundraiser for Responsible Eating and Living. Go to responsibleeatingandliving.com. And please let me know what you think of the Real Good News and Review, all the parts. We've got some promos and food show, and it's just a lot of fun. And I'd love to hear what you think about it. Meanwhile, I'm also continuing with the What Vegans Eat talk. Oh, you know what? I just realized, oh, my goodness, just a minute left to go. Today is my 6-year anniversary on It's All About Food. I was thinking about it a little while ago, and today is the day. It's been 6 years I've been talking about my favorite subject food on this show. So, whoo, let's celebrate, shall we? Oh, thanks for joining me on this special anniversary show. I didn't even realize it until just now. Well, it's been fun, But I was telling you, I'm continuing with my What Vegans Eat blog, and we're on day 41, and that's how somehow I thought about my anniversary here. And that's it. Okay. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for celebrating with me. And contact me at info@realmeals.org. I'd love to hear from you sometime soon. And remember, have a delicious week.